Welcome. This is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau, and this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about inspiring everyone at this time to a greater, more wonderful transition for our world. I want you to understand, as we are all at this time of the 2020 Corona CV-19 lockdown, whatever you want to call it, everyone is in pause to think. And you think that was what we would be doing, this pause to think, because only essential people are allowed, and we'll talk about that in a minute, to go out to their workplaces. Now, I want you to understand there are no accidents on the planet. All is in divine timing. And your soul, each one individually, asked exactly to be here at this time in the world history for your greater good, for your greater soul growth, and to leave the world better than when you came. So there's no mistake you're listening today. People have forgotten that key. Remember, soul growth, and to leave the world better than when you came. It's not about your iPhone. It's not about the new game. It's not about this time, what are you going to do if you're bored, or now you can do all your reading. It's time for you to go within and remind yourself on a soul level to get back in touch. You see, you have one soul that lives forever. And yes, it's not a theory. We don't do that on the show. We espouse a belief. We have one soul that lives forever, and we keep getting back into these cute bodies, genders, nationalities. We've been every religion. You think we'd learn by now? It's for greater soul awareness and greater understanding that we are all one and all divinely connected. Now, human beings on the earth, it's confirmed by sources that are confirmable. One of them being Edgar Cayce, the most foremost psychic of the 20th century. Humankind has been on the planet for about 200,000 years. So it was hard on our scientists that have a hard time believing anything outside our known history. So you must believe or understand that everything you've been taught to believe is therefore flawed. So I want you to learn to go deeper, especially at this time when you have a moment. Now, I want you to look back and understand, wasn't there a flu season the year before? Was there a flu season the year before that? Weren't you prompted for several years to get a flu shot? Didn't you hear on the TV and the radio shows and everywhere you went, swine flu, avian flu, bird flu, SARS, all this? Weren't you hearing H1N1? Didn't you hear about Ebola, Zika? What else can I name? HIV, all those? Come on. Do you understand? All of them. All of them. And yes, this is confirmed proof. All of them were created. And unfortunately, created by the source, the sources that actually run the planet at this time. And what I mean by those sources, those are those that have all the money, that have all the, own all the corporations, only in our mainstream media, if you look at it, all the news that we have in every city, country, and station, it's only owned by six corporations, all part of this little consortium that unfortunately is misaligned and unfortunately drunk for a few hundred years on their understanding of the need for greed, domination, suppression, power and control of you. So now you've been through this a couple of weeks now, and you've seen how each week your rights have been declined each time. Now I want you just to look at a simple exercise. When you go to the grocery store 6 feet apart, yeah, aren't you just breathing the air of the person that just left that space in front of you? Are you not in that same airspace? Think logically. Does it make any logical sense? So the store has a lot of people, so they want so many to go in at a certain time this week. What will it be next week? Isn't that the same air in the store that you're currently breathing? How about the airplanes? Worst air in the world, several hours out of the day. So why is it that this time in our human history that the gears are told to stop and halt everybody's progress? Everybody's moving on the planet. And somebody says, oh, it's good. Well, there's always a silver lining in everything if it's aligned with the way that's highest for humankind and Earth to coexist amidst the entire cosmos. This isn't the only galaxy Earth is in, there is out there that Earth aligns in, the Milky Way. Scientists know there are 99,000 galaxies, and they found out that there are over 99,000 universes. So you need to expand your thinking. It's not just about your new phone, your new game. It's about more than that, this expansive ability that you promised to be a steward for. Humans promised that they were to be genuine stewards for the Earth. And as you look, those that were misaligned only thought about one process since the industrial age and before. Let's see, how can we make enough money? Who cares about the waters? Who cares about the systems, the sewage? Who cares about all that as long as we're making bank and we have these big houses and all these people keep working for us? Who cares about all that? Who cares about the environment? Who cares about all the pollution? Oh, it's a problem now? Oh, we have these scientists and sociologists that say, let's make them think it's their fault since the 70s, 60s. Let's put it on them. Let them feel guilty about their carbon footprint when the largest carbon footprint is made by those large conglomerates owned by just a few, just the very few, that 1% of the 1%. Unfortunately, their misalignment has cost them. They don't recognize or realize that. They don't recognize a connection with any of us. Remember, they call us useless containers. Actually, now they call us useless food eaters. And yes, they run every government. They've picked every world leader. And as you see today, nearly, not all, nearly every world leader, unfortunately, falls in compliance. I heard the prime minister of Belarus saying, wait a minute, I know where this was coming from. They're not going to be good to me because my country's too small. So I'm going to spill the beans. We'll see how long that lasts, and I'm proud of his courage. But why are all these government leaders playing into this? And they want you as a populace to keep watching your programming on TV. Keep watching that TV and all the shows they keep putting on there since the 1950s. Was it 1951 when the head of CBS said, when what we put on TV, everybody believes is the truth, and everything that is real they think is a lie, then we've done our job in programming. Do you understand? They have these beautiful, long, patient plans, and unfortunately we've fallen for each one. So this quiet time should allow you to realign and to awaken to what your soul promised, to clean up all your garbage from all yours for your greater soul growth, not to blame anyone, take responsibility. And take responsibility from everything from the cup you tend to toss on the side after your coffee to the point that you have to take responsibility for the feelings you emit into the earth herself. She herself has a soul. She is a being. So it's extremely important that we have to remember this symbiosis is supposed to work. She would easily take care of us, easily. However, we've denigrated the care of her. And now I see it in children. They have no clue about picking them after themselves because somebody else did it. And so their parents, somebody else did it for them. Or they thought that was supposed to be a government job or whatever. We can just toss. It was your job in the first place not to put it there. It was your job to be conscientious about the choice of products. And those corporate leaders that you spend money with, it was your job to determine where you place your money. But they knew you would fall for the psychology behind the ad and go get the newest best thing without realizing the source of that best thing. That there are kids being put in mines at a very early age just so they could mine for lithium batteries, let alone these wonderful things for your iPhone 10, 11, 12. So you have to think on a conscious level as you promise the divine universe in your own way, in your own belief system, but you have a connection to the divine universe. You promise to recall it, remember here, retain it, utilize it, and to have a great, good life, but not only for yourself. You have to understand that everything you do, think, and say absolutely impacts every person on the planet and the planet herself, and hence the cosmos, the greater cosmos. So you can't just, I'm not trying to blame you. You need to look carefully. Forgive yourself because you didn't know better. Forgive your ignorance. This was intended. This was to function only as a working class. And that 1% of the 1% knew this. Now, if you could see the world denigrate very rapidly, yes, it's more than just for the financial collapse. And yes, they usually make a financial collapse just before they start another world war where they usually make bank from. And they gain from our suffering. Do you understand their misalignment? So I don't need you to protest. I don't need you to get angry at them. You should feel sorry for them. Because on this earth, there's a code. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. This is part of the free will structure. You're entitled to the free will. But as Anne Ryan says, you will experience the consequences of that free will. This is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And today's topic is to inspire a greater transition at this time of great change in the world. I'm happy to announce my guest today. This is Andrew Gaines. I will call you a futurist at this time. And his format or his understanding of an idea he has to inspire the rest of us into our highest. Thank you for being with us, Andrew. How are you today?
Hey, hello, Antonia. Great to be here.
Thank you. So, Andrew, I came across you actually at a conference that was pulled that had my interest, the climate consciousness. And I was happy because what they called light bearers, light workers, light weavers were introduced so we could do something, take action. And I noticed that this was almost the pattern of, again, more talk. Nice, beautiful talk. But I knew that we were at a point in our world that it needed action. On that point, I want to ask what came before that point for you to recognize in your life and how you chose. Please share with us how you chose to take action.
I did a workshop with a great teacher, Jean Houston. It was not decades ago here in Sydney. I live outside Sydney.
Yes.
And she said, at some point in the workshop, you know, you're only 4 or 5 degrees of separation from somebody else in the world. You know somebody who knows Al Gore or whatever. With that warm-up, she said, all right, everybody, I'd like you to go to the back of the room. It was a big hall. And I would like you to walk backwards into the world of your ancestors. So I get up, the lights are dimmed down, I'm walking backwards, and I'm feeling bored. And then suddenly, it's as though I'm the village headman in a village in Turkey 6,000 years ago, 4,000 BC. Waving fields of grain, the village is well-run and orderly. I have a martial arts belly, and I'm proud of my village. And then I think, what would it be like to be the village headman's wife? So I take a step sideways, and instantly I've got a belly dancer's belly, title, alive. I love the life of the village. Jean says, all right, everybody, now I would like you to walk forward. And as you walk forward, imagine that somebody from, say, 400 years in the future is looking back to you as an ancestor. And with that, I burst out crying, as did about half the group. And for me, it was because I felt connected to coming generations. But something else happened. I shifted to being a pessimistic idealist who knew all the troubles of the world to being a committed optimist.
Very nice.
So committed means I'm committed to doing my best with others to change the disastrous direction, which is why you and I are having this conversation.
I love the way you came to that. I love the fact that you came from that absolute 360. You know what I mean? Complete, actually 180. But you even made your turns even through past lives. So that's why I said 360. So you came through those concepts or qualities back to the present moment and said, wait a minute. And that's what I meant earlier when I talked about people aligning to what their soul came here to do. It wasn't just to kind of sit back and partake of the spoils that are spoiling us and the planets. It was to take a look at how we can do so. And I noticed that as humans, we just don't really listen to others. You see, there's a war, and the elite have used that. The sociology and the psychology behind that is divide and conquer. Let them just wrestle amongst themselves. They'll be tired and stop.
Yeah, there's some other dimensions that are worth bringing in here.
Yes.
I've studied the work of a psychohistorian named Lloyd DeMouse. He said when he started, and this was decades ago, I realized that the psychoanalytic people had no interest in history, and the historians had no interest in the mind. And I had a question, the common belief that mothers always love their children. But, historian, how do you research that? So I went back and I looked at all the written records from Greco-Roman times to the present that give us some indication of what parenting was like. It was horrible. In Greco-Roman times, kids were routinely put out to infanticide, put out to die. In medieval times, mothers sent their children out to be wet nurse because they didn't want to deal with them themselves. So children were abandoned, basically, and many of them died with terrible care that everybody knew went on. Somehow, mysteriously, parenting, specifically mothering, but now it's mothering and fathering, but back then it was mothering, began to change. One indication was when mothers began to breastfeed their own children. We know about that because of the letters they wrote, right? History. Oh, how beautiful it is. But these mothers were terrified of their feisty children. So in the 1800s, children were routinely beaten to keep them just disciplined. And they're beaten whether they needed it or not. There were professional beaters who would come around in America. You wouldn't know.
Spare the rod, spoil the child mentality.
Exactly. Well, the good news is that when I came out to Australia in 1986, they passed a law that made beating no longer legal in schools, specifically in the Christian schools, were the ones who wanted to do it. Which is
yes.
So you may recall, this is speaking to the audience, you may recall the movie The Bed Poets Society. If you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful movie. Robin Williams was the star. And he represents a teacher who was in what DeMouse would call helping mode. He wanted to bring the kids along, find your own way. And there was a son in the thing whose father wanted him to be a lawyer and the son wanted to be an actor. At the end, the father exerts so much pressure on the son, which is socializing mode, that the boy commits suicide. It's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But the silver lining is Robin Williams is exemplifying what helping mode looks like. And there now is a whole cohort, a large cohort of people who raise their kids respectfully and caringly and want to bring them along to, hey, what's your path? I'll help you follow it. So that's the good news. There's an evolutionary process where the amount of childhood trauma is actually reducing. And trauma is connected with the dynamics of war as well as the dynamics of the power structures.
It's interesting because on that note of the Dead Poets Society starring Robin Williams, he kind of bookended that with Good Will Hunting later on in the 90s, where he took this brilliant genius who was a janitor and didn't feel like he wanted to do anything with his life. And he realized to let him know that he had a purpose and a point to utilize it in the highest ways. He was trying to inspire that from him, you know, to get
out of it. There was that wonderful scene in the movie where he's recognized as a genius and brought in for an interview with some CIA folks.
Exactly.
He said, why would I work with you? You don't have good values.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we have here. On the planet, we always have a choice. When everybody has a gift or a purpose, every single person, we always have a choice of how we're going to apply that purpose. Or if we don't.
Let me pick up on that for a moment, if I could.
Sure.
There's a phrase from, a lovely phrase actually, follow your bliss. And there are a lot of personal development coaches who encourage people to find their path, All of that's important. But in our global context, something else is important. Our collective challenge is to transition to a life-affirming culture. And this is an evolutionary challenge.
Correct.
So what I bring to that conversation is a set of tools that we can introduce other people to.
Perfect.
Two sets, actually, not just one. So one set of tools is called inner work, and it's tools we can introduce to other people, techniques to resolve our own emotional issues. One of them is something called EFT, the tapping technique. It's very teachable, and people can use it for themselves to resolve emotional triggers. Another tool is one I adapted from Jean Houston, actually, called the St. Francis process, which is use imagery to meet unknown problematic parts of ourselves and some kind of improvised interaction that resolves whatever they represent, whatever difficulty they represent, whether it's phobia or fear. So that's one set of tools, and I wrote a book called Inner Work. And people who introduce these tools to others are not acting as psychotherapists.
Right.
They're acting as trainers.
Right.
To empower people to do something on their own.
You said the key word is to empower people to do things on their own.
Yep.
That's the key.
The other tool is something called kitchen table conversations.
All right.
And it's a tool for having conversation about what are the major drivers that make global warming worse and other environmental issues worse. And that's in the context of helping us all as collectively recognize the dilemma. Systemic drivers. You've talked a lot about the 1% power structures. That's how the money system is set up.
Right.
There are other systemic drivers, like retail therapy. Again, the trauma, and of course, advertisers play on that. So it's the same system you've been talking about. Another one is the industrial design can be greatly improved. And there are people working on all of these areas, but the overarching thing is, instead of having a society devoted to economic growth as a goal, our proper goal now is a life-affirming culture. And we need to feed that into mainstream thinking. And we do that by just talking with our friends and colleagues and business colleagues.
The difference was it was called a life-affirming culture as compared to, again?
Economic growth.
That's correct. A life-affirming culture, quite different than what we're seeing today.
Yeah. And it's, as you say, it's up to us, all of us who are awake to some degree and care, to become the change agents who bring people outside our usual thought bubbles into the conversation.
What I noticed today is the lemming or the herd-like mentality or sheeple mentality, it's called, where everybody's running off the cliff. And literally our controllers, so to speak, will utilize that for their benefit. And so what I want people is to take this moment in time that we are now in this lockdown situation in your own home to really go inside. You talked about the book again. It was Kitchen Table. What did you call it again? The title, please?
Kitchen Table Conversations.
Kitchen Table Conversations. For them to take this life-affirming look or learn to do so or adapt that into our culture. And so I hope that this is the key, that they realize at this point we have to stop on a dime and do so. There's not this languishing in time and lazing back to do nothing. I want them to not only to be inspired to look up, how do I make this life-affirming choice in everyday life from my home? One person, one-on-one. People have to understand no one person is better than another. This consensus or collective we have is part of the whole world. There are different grades of different jobs everybody has. Big deal. We're here to inspire everyone. I always say, we promise to inspire everybody we see at Walmart to do their highest and best toward a life-affirming culture, literally.
Right. So let's make that a bit more specific.
Sure.
If I go down to the equivalent of Walmarts, I would see a lot of strangers that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have much direct influence on them unless I'm smiling.
Correct.
And it's not enough if we just make our own personal changes. We need to do that. But what we really need to do is lift our game, those of us who care about this stuff, and become citizen educators. And we'd start that by asking a friend we know, this is pre-coronavirus, I'd use this language, say, hey, Jane, would you have coffee with me? Let's have an in-depth conversation. Can you just spend an hour? Right. Sure, Andrew, I know you. I'm up for that. Let's give it a go. So it starts with an invitation. Of course, that could be done now on Zoom. You and I are on Zoom.
Yes.
And I have a kitchen table conversation. It's not just a book. It's actually a tool. And let me show you kind of what one of the main pieces looks like. I'm just going to share a screen here. I got the idea that I'm going to show you from a former stage magician. He said, Andrew, people like to have physical objects to hang ideas on. So this is a tool for a conversation on the question, what makes CO2 emissions go up? And I point out that there's it's labels on beer coasters, as you can kind of see. Mm-hmm. So I start out by pointing out that there's a connection between stuff and CO2 emissions. So as a proxy, we can ask what makes the amount of stuff go up. So that's an open question. People might say, well, I won't go through the whole thing, but it's something like it relates to advertising. So I put that down. And then I bring in the trade agreements. And you've been talking about corporate influence on governments, so that comes in. Mm-hmm. This all feeds the top 0.1%, people whose grandparents set the system up some decades ago or even whatever. Other elements come in. There's economic growth. There's population. It's a domination control system. There are psychological aspects. We have retail therapy. People aren't happy themselves. And it finally shows up as, I've got to look important. So the situation is that people don't understand this whole pattern that we're part of. So the point of these conversations is that we get the big picture. So we have some idea that what we really need to change.
So you're correct. And so it all boils down to all those factories are producing the stuff that we're guided to think that we need to produce this consumer society or culture. And it leaves us no thought or focus toward life-affirming culture, which is the whole point. You're a body. The earth is a body, a planet, a planetary body. Yeah. So I see for generations, they've lost that link or connection.
Well, that's a whole other question of how do we personally reconnect
with
the sense of nature and Pachamama as a living being. I guess I don't have a complete answer to that, but one place to start is the familiar things of becoming sensitive to our own breathing and rhythms and sensitive to the parts of nature we can see, that's a tree in a city or whatever. Perhaps you have some other ideas about how we might connect.
It's the case, and that is what I teach, or you can go to my website and I cover that, the spiritual, the mental, and the physical processes we need to address and grow or evolve to. And what ends up happening is, at this moment in time, people can waste it by lazing on the sofa, staying in the bed all day, because they've been on the hamster wheel. So there's a gradient of that, of coming off of it. But especially if they've got their kids in the household and they're around their loved ones more than they ever have been, this is the first time they're really connecting. And so how can I say we have to come together, because we've actually lost that connection as a family, as our neighbors or communities. So even engendering that, most people have no clue what their next door neighbor's name is. So all those little things. But I believe it starts exactly where you said, in that house, in that wherever they are in their home, they can start to look at a pattern. As you said, everything from the breath to, I'm a proponent of meditation. If you can only meditate 5 minutes of the day, that's better than the average person will ever do in their life. It'd be nice if you can work it up to 15. Great if you can do it for an hour, or magnificent if you can do it 3 hours out of the day, as they do in the monasteries or around the world. But it's important to find a gradient of growth. We are not done yet. We're not done with our learning or growth till the last draw of breath. And so that can be faster or slower.
One feature about you and I, Antonia, is we both love to learn. We're both avid readers, and it's not just reading.
Everything.
Martial arts, improvisational acting, all sorts of experiential stuff. That's all fun.
Exactly. And this is not to, like you said, it's to me a joy. If they want to focus on a subject matter, any of those things you just named, they could be looking and studying right inside their home at this time. Now our digital age allows this opportunity while they have this moment in time. Or they could, like I said, start slowly. They don't have to jump into it. But I want them to realign or find a way that each individual can realign to their joy, not only their bliss. How can I improve myself? How can I leave the world better than I came? That's the key. They're not going to buy.
I'll tell you a bit of my own story, Antonia.
Yeah, please.
When I was in my early 20s, I was almost completely cut off from my feelings. I recall being with some friends in Northern California, just north of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. The place was so beautiful. Even I knew that it was beautiful. That's pretty tragic. That's tragic. I had the luck and the impetus to work with a great body therapist named Stanley Kellerman. And he tried everything to get some kind of a spontaneous response from me, and he couldn't. Until one day, this was a small study group he was running. One of his ways of working was to have us people kick on a mattress, because that enlivens the body, and usually something spontaneous would happen. So it's my turn. I kick on the mattress. Nothing happens. And Stanley turns to this group and says, you know, what happened to Andrew happened when he was very young. And that remark went through all my defenses, and I burst out crying.
Perfect.
Spontaneously.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of my emotional recovery. I then spent years in various kinds of therapy, and I did lots of what I call inner work on my own. Again, the tapping technique that I talk about, some of the other techniques. And as a result, to my surprise, about 10 years ago, I began to notice that I was having times of uncaused joy. I'm just feeling good at myself for no reason. Pay off.
I noticed that when people find nature, and right now they're locking down our access to nature. There was a surfer, the lone surfer in Malibu, that was picked up and handcuffed and taken off. But he needed the waves, and they were really high and really good. Nobody was out there, and he went for his love of the surfing. And so they put him in cuffs and took him and dragged him off as an example for the rest of us. But nature is a way that we all connect, because nature herself has all those feelers, energies that we're inundated with when we walk through there. If people just get it virtually, they will still be affected. Perhaps not mm-hmm. as well as just with it, mm-hmm. like I said, visually in front of them, just virtually. It will trigger those memories, but it's from memory, not just from this life. It's from all lives when they were seeing the blades of grass grow, or, you know, with the time-lapse cameras, or the sunset, or the beautiful wave action of somewhere in the world. Now they have the videos you can watch for 10 hours with drone activity. They're magnificent. The world is beautiful. If they just need a little bit of that to center, to come in for a second and ask, what did I come here to do? And I will tell you, each person, as you mentioned, Andrew, has their own story. Each one of us has their own individual set of books that we promise to learn from and utilize. So everybody's course of study on the planet is quite individual. What I love is each soul planned this course. So every experience, believe it or not, even in our childhood, even the worst and the best, was all for a soul plan for greater soul development. It always can't be pretty in our own experiences, because we're kind of slow. As humans, sometimes we take a tougher lesson, a tougher quality, and we get major brownie points on a soul level, I like to call it, or merit, so to speak, if we literally will grow past those experiences. No blame to what happened during childhood, because as I look, I learned about astrology this interesting way. I wasn't going to be an astrologer. I was already a psychic and a master psychic by standards professional. I thought, I really don't have time for that, you know. I've already been doing this for some 20 years at that time. And I thought, you know, let the astrologers do that. And I happened to come across a couple of astrologers. And they looked at someone's birth chart that I had placed before them. And in 2 minutes, they said, oh, this person was a victim of incest from the ages of 12 to 14. I thought, what did you just say? Because only I knew that factor. Exactly the age. I said, what? It's right here. You see this, this, and this. Between the ages of 12 to 14, this person was a victim of incest. And I knew that the soul's reason for that or the choice was for a soul basis. Like I said, some of the lessons aren't pretty. But to be that accurate at the time and the age, and now this person was an adult, PhD, had their own practice and had risen above that, helping others. But I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding. I've got to learn this. And not the mundane, the little, you know, Sunday paper astrology, I call it, but the advanced evolutionary, esoteric astrology, those spiritual astrology, those bases. And I couldn't devour enough. And then I always asked to be guided to the material because there's so much commercialized garbage out there. And so I was absolutely on a line, a beeline, but I was in shock that that level of 2 minute glance at someone's birth chart could express something that they had been hiding for their entire life. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This was amazing. So I wanted to look up that, found out the reason why that soul would have chosen that. And I remember calling that particular soul and a client of mine. And I said, you understand. And I read exactly the resource that I was guided to that was very accurate. I won't give a resource unless it's really for years. I see that it has that accuracy. And it showed that in a past life, this person was very cruel to others. And they had chosen this dynamic. But when I said or read that portion, the person laughed. And I realized that hit a nerve. And it was true. So I recognized that this lifetime, to be put in that scenario or situation, they had a choice. They could either be angry after 18 and kill everybody on the street because they were angry at the world or what their circumstances had been. Or what they had chosen was to achieve by helping others to share and teach and build confidence in youth and teens and in the schools and an administrator. She ended up being an administrator, a principal, all kinds of things. And I thought, what a choice. What a choice to have this happen. And yet you still, well, I wallow in it and just get upset about it. Free will choice.
So that's consistent with one of the spiritual teachings that I've been part of. The thought was that we select our parents because they'll give us precisely the difficulties we need to deal with.
Correct.
And this was a spiritual group that was very psychologically oriented.
Correct.
So our take was face all the internal distortions and sort them out.
In fact, that is, again, not a theory of belief, not on this show. Literally, we choose their parents 2 to 3 years prior to our birth. We get to see exactly what each parent will experience from their birth to their end of their life, whether those two parents will be together, stay apart, divorce, were adopted, all plan how they're going to raise us, who they're going to end up with, who they're going to be married to again before we're born. It's the greatest computer the divine universe has working. I couldn't believe it. So the person has to understand they get brownie points for choosing that kind of quality. They get extra soul growth for choosing that dynamic. And so they also have to learn to forgive their mother and father. They're human. They're
yes, there's father. No blame involved whatsoever.
None.
I've been reading, there's a brilliant book by a psychiatrist, a research psychiatrist named Bessel van der Kolk. Mm-hmm. The book is really worth reading. The book is called The Body Keeps the Score. But van der Kolk is not only a research psychiatrist, he's also simply a great human being. And what he does in the book is, his research took him into early brain imagery. So he's done a lot of work with brain imagery in the context of not only trauma and how it shuts down the brain, but also what kinds of therapeutic procedures allow the brain to reawaken.
Yes.
Resolve the trauma.
Yes.
And the good news is, there's a lot of good stuff that works. It's all experiential.
The fact is, people have to remember, these methods or modalities, they have free will choice. They've heard it here. They've heard it from you. But they can also pull it into their lives and apply it. Free will choice, but they have to act. That's the key.
What I'm grateful for my own journey was something in my own spirit moved me to do often uncomfortable inner work, psychotherapy, the workshops, whatever, and face parts of myself, all of that. Really uncomfortable, didn't want to do it. And my spirit moved me to do it. And as I said, I got the payoff. Hey, smiles, everybody.
Hey, exactly. And they don't know how far that came. And you have realized, or when you transition, Casey calls it, you are born into the physical or you're born into the spiritual. There's no death. So when you go and at your time of transition, you will look back and say, whew, good thing I did that. You'll see your brownie points rack up because.
Absolutely.
Not only will you have the brownie points, but everything you achieved and accomplished in that self-knowledge and that awareness, it absolutely helps the collective, every person. It doesn't do any good, Andrew, if you and I make it. Like I say, everybody used to see the equivalent to Kmart there or Walmart. You know, like I said, those stores, they are our brothers and sisters. We promise to inspire to do the same. We are a collective, or this oneness that we're going to. And
We're all part of a field.
Exactly.
Our own inner thoughts and attitudes and feelings and way of being in the world does affect the field. But I think, in addition, those of us who care do well to bring a whole nother level, new level of intentionality to it.
And let's
talk. The intention of inspiring mainstream commitment.
Bingo.
Transition to a life-affirming culture.
Now, this is important because I want to make sure that here we are, we've worked out some of self that they have to work on. At the same time, they're working on this life-affirming culture that has to be represented, especially from this time on. People talk about a shift. It's a shift in attitude. It's a shift in awareness, understanding. It's a shift in physical shift. The earth is making her shifts to inspire you to do the same in your own life. Make some change. So,
and it will shift also into the level for those who are influenced.
Yes.
Shifting institutions.
Bingo.
So schools can change to allow more real creativity and curiosity in kids. Workplace managers can shift to what's called a partnership respect style, where you respect your folks and don't bully them. All the way up finally to global governance and to changing the tax laws that give so much wealth to the wealthy, for example.
So it matriculates to absolutely that 1%. In other words, all the way up. It's supposed to have matriculated down to us. The benefit of their ability to know how to process and make large amounts of monies was to help themselves to have a comfortable life and to help us to do the same thing. That part was lost in the translation. The part was only a meager amount was given to us. The rest was taken from us.
And now it's even trickier, I think, Antonia.
Yes.
Because even the most impoverished of people who will be listening to this call live a lifestyle that is vastly ahead of all previous generations and many people in the world, right? We are the wealthy 1%, believe it or not, if you look at the statistics.
Correct.
And we are part of a... Come in the screen share again. Mm-hmm. We're part of a system that is devouring the earth.
That's right.
And we have the threat of nuclear war as well.
Right.
So the way forward is to design for descent and to choose to live maturely and modest lifestyles. So yes, the money is inequitable and we really need to change that whole dynamic. But at the same time, we need to choose to go down to a steady state economy rather than continuing with a growth economy. Big stuff.
And this is important because, again, you're saying it starts from the grassroots up and then it matriculates further. What is interesting, like you said, it's not the stuff. You said the slide previous to that was the stuff. But as we're growing in understanding, we are now connecting to the earth herself as a being. If we respect, start to respect that, then we'll realize maybe we don't need, and how was this made? So we started that a little bit. We started to make, you saw the leaf palm plants that they were doing, and the bamboo spoons and forks. And so we're trying to change, because it was too cheap to give the plastic. So they're demanding, okay, no more plastic bags. So we're saying, you change at the top, because we're not going to do this any longer. Our lawmakers, to say on the local levels or the state levels or the provincial levels, are trying to implement certain things, but at the top down, they may not be getting the messages easily, because their families and, like you said, the generations have put their time and interest into raping the resources of the earth instead of enhancing those resources. So
rape is unacceptable.
Exactly. Exactly. In any case, in any way. And so I always say that with the oil from Mother Earth, that's her blood. What do you think you're doing? All these things. And the earth was made completely her natural basis to supply us with all our needs in an equitable fashion for our health, for our well-being, for our sustenance in every way, until we started abusing it. Even the way we farm, traditional farming can't work. It strips the soil of nutrients. That's why we have processed garbage in the stores to this day. We've stripped it from the same plan of agriculture. So we have to look into new methods or modalities of growing our foods and nurturing.
Right. So a life-affirming culture, one of its qualities would be that we live well within the capacity of the planet to sustain us, which means we stop destroying it. Now, there's something called the natural step, which was developed by a Swedish cancer researcher. He said, too many kids coming through my clinic with cancer. I think they're being environmentally poisoned. Yes. So he develops the natural step as a tool to teach us the principles of sustainability. And he was very clever. He defined them in the negative. He said, it's not sustainable if we destroy forests and estuaries faster than they can regenerate.
Right.
It's not sustainable if we introduce industrial toxins or dig up toxins from the earth like lead and mercury and introduce them into our environment. So the good news in that is we actually have the design skills. There are engineers who have worked this out. How to have a technological society that draws very little on Earth's resources so that we can live within the planet's boundaries.
Your tools, you have something that the audience can go to and look at. You mentioned your tools and your books. Can you please tell the name of those tools again for them and where they might access them?
Yes, for the books, I've written three books.
Okay.
The first one I mentioned is called Inner Work. It's a manual of techniques.
Okay.
You can get that through lulu.com or probably through Amazon.
Okay.
It's self-published. They're all self-published.
Good.
The second one is a lovely one. It's called Creativity Games.
Ah, okay.
A lot of them are improvisation games, but they're not just for fun. If people play these games, or if you play it with your kids, you develop some of the creative thinking skills that great innovators use.
Huh.
It's about creative thinking skills, yes.
And the title of that one again is?
Is Creativity Games.
Creativity Game. Okay.
Yeah, games, plural. Anyway,
okay.
All under my name. And then the third one is Kitchen Table Conversations, which is a manual for these conversations I told. But we also have a Kitchen Table Conversations kit, which has the physical pieces pre-made. And that can be purchased through, watch this one, Beat the Change Australia. We have a website, Beat the Change Australia.
Okay.
Now, that kit is also online for free, and I've worked out how to do it through a Zoom conversation. So if you, speaking to the listeners again, if you want to be a citizen educator, which I really hope you will, then you can go to the website, work out for yourself how to do it, and try having a Zoom conversation with a friend. Just get the feel of it. It'll feel awkward at first, like a new recipe, but then you get the hang of it, and hey, I'd love for you to do it. This is how we catalyze a movement to change the world.
This is one
and
of
the website, finally.
Okay.
Is called inspiringtransition.net.
Say it again, please. inspiringtradition.net. Inspiringtradition.net.
Yeah, it's very bare bones, but it's got the key stuff on it.
Perfect. Perfect.
We're upgrading it now, so let's go for it.
Okay. I want people to understand that Andrew Gaines has not only worked on himself as an example for all of us or to inspire all of us, he's given part of his legacy to the world so far so he can help all of us advance into this life-affirming quality of culture as we move forward. I like the fact that you took action, Andrew. Most people sit about it and think about it and complain about it. You took action to do something. Today, at this portion of the show, I'd like to offer you a gift as an exchange for your time on the show. And I'd like to offer you a mini reading on the air. As a professional psychic, I want people to learn the difference between a professional and a storefront gypsy, so to speak. There are kindergarten psychics, grammar school, high school. They're all different ranges, as there are doctors, good doctors and bad. But what I want them to do is to be inspired with this little mini reading. My real reading is an hour. We can't do that on the air. But literally during the reading, I've learned through the many years of my studies as a metaphysical spiritual teacher for over 40 years now, that this is how we process and access that spiritual side of self. With the answer to the question, you are always have free will to apply the information or not. And the process we'll do just for the mini reading on the air so they can get a feel of that is, I'll ask you to phrase a question or I'll help you phrase it if you need. So it's succinct and we can answer by yes, no, or maybe. I'll tell you the answer to the question, how it affects your life. And again, you have free will to apply that information or not. A real reading is a whole body of information that I offer. But while you're thinking of that question, I want the audience to know, as a hard and fast skeptic, I was always psychic since very early childhood, since about the age of 5, and in a family that didn't discuss this. But I was raised in an academic family, so I figured God wouldn't give a kid this kind of a gift for nothing. Even then, I knew it needed to be utilized and learned from the right sources, never the wrong, studied in the highest ways. But I was still from that academic base. And so I kept demanding, as I kept studying more and more on the subject matter into my adulthood to this current day, I demanded proof years ago before the trend. On top of this, I literally see and hear the person's own guide, guardian angel. And at first, that freaked me out at first, but realized through the years they know much better. So there's always those extra dimensions outside of this human dimension that we are supposed to connect to. This is our lineage. Our lineage forward, as we look here in the physical earth, we are survivors. We are descendants, actually, of the survivors from previous generations. And as we move forward, we want to leave legacies for the future generations in the highest way possible, not just mediocre, not just ugly like it is right now. We want to leave something precious for them. And they do, that guide, guardian angel, each person has, no kidding, it's not grandma or grandpa, does know your life path or your life plan. And they're hoping we ask for input. That's a hope. So on that note, your question for me today would be?
Here's the context. My intention is to catalyze a global movement for transformational change.
Good.
To put us out of our ecological nosedive.
Good.
I have a number of balls in the air as we speak. So I'm reaching out to colleagues. The vision there is to get leaders of groups on board to ask their members to be citizen educators.
Perfect.
I'm also partly drafted a book and I work on it occasionally. I'm in the process of applying for a large grant.
So that's three areas right there. Which one is the most important to you at this time? We'll cover at least one on the air.
So the question is for my guide is in this mix, where should I be putting my energy, or should I just be playing the whole field across the board as I'm doing?
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, Andrew, if you could right now, to take it out of your mind and just put that as number one or two or three, the three different focuses you discussed that you're juggling. I want you to take one from your heart right now that is most prevalent in your mind. We're going to focus on that one thing. Okay.
Well, that one thing then is building network of colleagues to engage.
Perfect.
Organizations.
I want you to focus on what level of success you'd like to see, say in a time frame between now and the next 6 months or now and the next year. What time frame would you like to see that focus of success level, and think of that level that you'd like to have in that, in getting colleagues to continue to teach citizens to do the same thing.
Should I just answer it?
Is that what you're saying? No, no. Oh, yeah. What time frame would you like? We're going to cover before you ask the question.
In 6 months, it'd be great to have one large organization by my vision.
Okay. I want you to focus on how happy that would make you feel between now and the next 6 months. If you had that absolutely happen, that's it. That big smile, that laugh.
But that would be a yay. That would be a yay.
I want you to concentrate on the question, but you're not asking me. With love and respect, nonverbally, address that question that way to the divine universe in your own way, with love and respect to God, creator, your guide, guardian angel. Between now and the next 6 months, will you achieve this level of success that you're thinking of right now in that? And say, stop shuffling whenever you like. This is a third point of reference only. Concentrate, please. Think of the question in your mind. Feel how happy you feel. Not asking me because we're human. To the divine universe, between now and the next 6 months, will you achieve this level of success in that arena? And say, stop shuffling whenever you're ready for me to stop, please, Andrew.
Okay.
Now, what happens is with even the tarot, and I'll just show for a second, it's the Toth deck, very powerful, just so you can see again. But what happens is, literally, it is an arc. There is an archangel that speaks behind each one when used properly. How can I say it was taken away many, you know, decades ago, eons actually, a couple of millennia ago from, how can I say it, just the church started to utilize this. They could only hold the divine right. And it was a point of control, unfortunately, as you see today. But in utilize the highest way, it opens the God's eye or the pineal gland to those concepts to hear what they're saying. So I see, hear, and I want a third level of confirmation going on at least. I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient, all the clairs, in fact, but I use this as the third point of reference, the astrology, numerology, palmistry, all third point of references only. But on the pathway you're headed, Andrew, on the path, the answer to your question, they said a couple of things are in the air. The answer is a maybe. They said, if you do this push, this one push, and I heard the words, something about a university or somebody's connected through a university or has a connection to someone through a university. It's a maybe, and the maybe is good. It's not a negative. I would have liked to have a yes or no here. I can pull it up really quick if you'd like, but a maybe means you're not sure. Your human side, you're sitting on the fence, trying to go this way or that way. And so I'm going to pick this up, actually. A maybe is good. It shows me opportunity for more income, more, like I said, ability for growth here. But I'm going to pick this up quickly and ask you to do it this way. Phrase that question. If you apply your priorities into this end between now and the next 6 months to a year, let's give a little time out there, between now and the next 6 months to a year, will the success level in that arena come to pass? If you apply this priority into this arena for the citizens through through your colleagues, will you achieve the success level you'd like to see and feel that between now and the next 6 months to a year if you apply this as a priority? And please say stop whenever your heart says stop.
Okay.
I just couldn't leave you going off the air without that answered. It shows me the book is partly of the background. They will give you that information. That's culminating. I have clients that make $250,000 for the script, okay, or the book. They're novelists. They've been clients for many years because of that. But I'm going to tell you, you brought that skill set. That was not to amuse you in your own bedroom. That's for us. That knowledge and your perspective has to impart information that we are going to need. Shows me that is also a priority underneath this one. The answer is a definite yes. If you apply this as a priority, I'm sorry, I'm excited for you. I'm the biggest cheerleader going. But I'm excited because it's good to see. Not only is it a yes, it shows me there are people that will talk negatively about you. And it shows me some of the stuff they said, the extraneous stuff, the exact words, you'll be able to get rid of. You'll say, I'm going to just leave this play a little bit on its own. It's kind of guiding on its own. It shows me you've asked for guidance or help from the divine universe. You've got that help. The shock to me is that you're going to be listening. Most humans just don't listen. It shows me you will hear of the changes on the earth, materially, physically, and spiritually, all that good stuff. You'll hear it, but it shows me that college or university or that chief setting where it's taught from or started from, and then it starts to branch out. And it shows me, yes, it could be online at this time. That's okay, as long as it begins, goosebumps. It shows me it's set up as some sort of a course and training, and then more will be guided or drawn to it. It does show me there's a female that's persistent in helping you to do this. She could be light-haired, light-eyed, not necessarily her look, but I know that she has water sign strong in her birth chart, sun, moon, rising, Pisces, Cancer, Scorpio, and in very good aspect to you. It also shows me the divine universe, God creator's influence on this question is showing literally plug back into the divine universe. It's so hard when we're unplugged. Plugging into the divine universe, it shows me they will guide you. You won't be taken like spinning around like by your tiger by its tail. You'll be able to plug in and be able to know and not have to bat off these obstacles. It shows me all your tentative feeling about this should reside. That's the direction you're supposed to go. It also shows me on the path where you're headed, you're letting go of, you heard them say you're trusting the process. I hate it because that sounds cliche to me, but I have to tell you what they just said. And it says you're trusting the process. The goosebumps you're getting is your guide, guardian angel. They've just connected to you. They want you to, when that happens, to note what's just been thought about, spoken or noted, is important to note and pay attention to at this time. It shows me you're going to make a risk decision. And Andrew, on the path you're headed, it's part of your purpose and mission. You're going to talk to some heads. It looks like I see you sitting back and there's some people sitting, a guy, and looks like he has glasses on, bald head, and the head looks a little sweaty up here from the forehead back. And he has darker brown hair on the side. He's got a little girth to him. And he's sitting and listening and talking, and you're wanting to implement the program or approach there. But it says on the path where you're headed, the answer is a definite yes. Don't screw this up. It does show on the path where you're headed that then that leads you with the comfort level into the book. The book has its success. I'm telling you, on the path where you're headed, that's for us, not for you. That material, that knowledge is us. Ask them to flow through you at perhaps a certain time of the day. They'll awaken all that in there and meet you there and they impart that information. The book says by so-and-so, it's not really. It's by the divine universe through you. For the rest of all of us. Andrew, thank you so very much today. For your website, again, I want the audience to recognize they can find the information about you and the material for your books. Please tell them Inspiration. Again, the website, your website name?
InspiringTransition.net.
InspiringTransition.net. And if you want more information about me and my work on the earth changes or spirituality and your own soul growth, you can find more information at antonialau.org. Andrew, I want to thank you for being a part of our show today.
Such a pleasure, Antonia. We have great work to do together and we're doing it.
And continued success for all we may have inspired and deep thought today. And I want to wish the audience all the best. Thank you.
All the best.